back in ye olden times when I was in college, I had to take two classes that were for public speaking. I had to take a public speaking class, and I had to take an advanced public speaking class. And unlike a lot of people that were in the class, I was not scared to death of this at all, because my father, from the moment that I had become a Christian, would schedule me for things that I didn't want to do. And so I got experience public speaking in the congregation. And so it was very helpful to me to have that experience. So my public speaking and advanced public speaking classes were the easiest A's that I ever had. And the other classes weren't that way. And so I learned from my father at a young age how to outline a talk and how to have a three-point sermon, you know. And he'd say, you know, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. That was his advice. And he was very organized in the way that he put things together. And so I'm still learning those things on how to better communicate. And I'm very thankful for his guidance in that. But you know, when we think about talking and communicating, sometimes that's a fearful thing. But you know what? I never was really taught in school is how to listen. We were taught a class on how to talk, but we weren't taught a class on how to listen. I guess it's inferred that if you're sitting there, listening to an instructor and taking notes, you should be pretty good listener. But sometimes we're not always that way. If you look in most college catalogs where they have the list of courses, I dare say that you would not find one that says Listening 101. You're not going to find Listening 101 listed as a course anywhere. But that's my objective today, I'm going to talk about listening. And specifically, we need to be aware that we need to listen to God. And in the passage that was read this morning, James chapter 1, it certainly points that out for us. So, lesson today is going to be entitled Listening and Living. And I want to consider the subject of listening in the context that we see here in James chapter 1. We'll go ahead and read this again. James chapter 1 is starting in verse 19. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And so what we see here is that when we look at this context, and certainly looking at the context is a proper way, to look at any passage of Scripture. If you're not looking at the context, you're probably missing something. And so what you see here in this progression of what James is saying here, how is he starting and how is he ending? Well, this whole passage, if you notice, It starts off with listening, and then it leads to living. And so those things are really hand in hand with each other, because he starts off here by saying, let every man be quick to hear, or swift to hear, or quick to listen, some translations say. And so often we are not that way. If we're listening, many times it's because we're looking for our opportunity to jump in when somebody takes a breath. But that's not the idea here. by being quick to listen. And by the time you get to verse 27, it says, but be doers of the word. So it starts off by talking about hearing, and then it talks about being a doer. So the subject has moved to being doers of the word. And then as you read on, it talks about continuing in it. It's talking about continuing in the law. And when you do that, then you are blessed in what you are doing. And it mentions the visiting orphans and widows in their affliction. So this the point here is this passage starts off talking about listening. But it all leads into the way that we live, what we practice, what we do, and the connection between those. And you know, if we fail to see the connection here when we talk about the Word of God and the way it affects our life, then we really, you know, miss the point. The point of Bible study is what? Is it knowledge? Well, yeah, we want to have knowledge. We want to be able to. It's nice to be able to recall Scripture when we need to, or when we're having a discussion with someone. But what it really boils down to, the reason that we study our Bible is not to get some check mark for the day that we did it. It's to live it. That's the reason. And I know that's basic, but the reason that we study the Bible, the reason that we read the Bible, is so that we can do the Bible, so that we can understand it and live it. Listening to God, you know, through hearing of His Word, is designed to lead to us living it. And that's exactly what James is saying here. You know, if you open up your ears, if you hear it, if you know what the Word of God is, you know, well, good for you. But you are to be a doer of that Word and not a hearer only. And unfortunately, many times we don't even have our ears open. We get accustomed to being rather careless in our listening. And I would say for the most part, we probably talk too much and listen too little. There is a person that I work with, and I've been in many sales calls with him, and he will invariably say this in every conversation that he has with a customer. He says, I've come here with the hopes of doing a lot more listening than I am talking. And then he proceeds to talk, you know. But you know what he's saying is that if I don't learn something about the customer and what the customer needs, then this whole visit was not any, you know, it's not of any benefit. And I've been on a sales call with another colleague, and all I learned in that sales call was I came out and thought, I didn't learn nothing about the customer, but I sure did learn a lot about my coworker and what his credentials are, you know. And so in that kind of environment, in a business environment, we understand that if we are doing a lot of talking, a lot of times we are not reaching the goal that we want. And when it comes to spiritual things, James is telling us, you need to hold on. You need to bridle your tongue. You need to stop talking so much. You've got one mouth and two ears, and you ought to be using the ears a little bit more than the mouth. And so we allow that to happen, and it happened in James's day, and it certainly does today. We need to hear, and we do hear a lot. And the you know, the average person who attends worship services on a regular basis, you know, if you add all that up, you know, it's probably about 4 days or a full week of sermons that you're going to hear when you count up the hours. And how much difference does that listening make in our daily decisions? And certainly the only Bible study that we should be getting shouldn't just be what you're hearing in a sermon. But how does it affect the quality of your lives? I can remember my dad being so frustrated sometimes when he would preach his heart out on a lesson, and it would be something that should invoke a response. It should invoke a change in behavior, and somebody whose behavior really ought to change comes out, shakes his hand, "Brother Jamerson, that sure was a fine lesson. I hope I get to live long enough to hear another one." But it goes out and there's no change in their life. And if we are that way, James says, what is that like? It's like, oh, you looked in the mirror, your hair's a mess, it's sticking up everywhere, you look horrible, and oh, I look great. And you go out and you didn't make any kind of change. So what difference does listening make in our daily decisions and the quality of our lives? James says, be ready to listen, or quick to hear. And so, ask you this. If you are so fortunate to have a rich uncle, and you're about the only one descendant in the family or the only relatives, and you heard that you might be mentioned in the will, you think you might show up? You think you might listen to the reading of the will? Well, you're going to be keyed in on every word of that. How would you react to that reading? Well, you'd turn off your phone. You would make sure that you were ready to pay close attention. I'm waiting for my name to be mentioned. You would hang on every word. Or think about where you're going to go to lunch when this will reading's over. You're going to be keyed in on that. And James tells us that God, through his word, there's a purpose in that word. What is the purpose that James says the word has? He tells us, get rid of distractions. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That's more important than the reading of any will. The word that you should be listening to has the ability to save your soul. And so you need to pay attention to something that it has the ability to give you spiritual life, and hang upon every word. Every word that God speaks. And Jesus said this when he was tempted in the wilderness. He told Satan, the man does not live by physical bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is the sustenance that he needed, and that gives him his being, that gives us ours. Concentrate on the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So what does that imply? It implies that we have a continual, steady diet on God's Word. And so James' appeal here is for believers to seize every opportunity that they have to increase their exposure to the Scriptures. Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. And he wants us to hear that. And we should want to hear it too. We should read it. We should hear it faithfully preached and faithfully taught. So the Christian recognizes the relevance and the importance of Scripture. And because of that importance that we place on the Scripture, we make time for it. We study it. We meditate upon it. And not only that, we strive to understand it. And the people of Ezra's day, the people of Ezra's day became aware that they were living in violation of God's law. And of course, they were not unique in that. They were not unique in that they were living in violation of God's law. But perhaps they were unique in the fact that they realized it and wanted to do something about it. And so what did they do? Well, they requested that Ezra bring the law, the books of Moses, to them and read it before them. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3, it says he read it from the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And that's a wonderful picture of their attentiveness to the law. And I know in some cultures when the Word of God is read, people stand up when it is read. But, you know, apart from us physically standing up, our ears should be standing up when we hear the Word of God. We should perk up.